This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. I want to share with you guys a list that I made. This is the list that I put together. You know how we have the circle of trust, where we put teams or individual players in a grouping and just give you guys an idea of who I like and who I don't like. Well, this is a very similar concept, just on the negative side. This is not the circle that you want to be in. I think there are five teams right now that are in desperate need of a quarterback, and the Raiders are in that conversation. Let me give you the teams. The Cleveland Browns are on this list. Now, they're stuck. Absolutely stuck. You gave Deshaun Watson a whole lot of money, and that money is guaranteed. Now, I might not be the smartest man in the world, but I know what guaranteed money means, and that means you owe me all of it. It doesn't matter if I'm healthy, doesn't matter if I'm hurt, doesn't matter if I'm playing great, doesn't matter if I'm playing poorly, bring me my money. The Browns are stuck. They are in quarterback hell. The Las Vegas Raiders are also in that conversation. Now, they have a lifeline. We all believe the Raiders are going to draft a quarterback this offseason. You know what they're not going to do next year? They're not going to have Tom Brady help run things, and you're going to have Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew at the helm. I think the Raiders sort of soft tanked without acknowledging it. You couldn't have thought in a division that has Patrick Mahomes, in a division that has Justin Herbert, in a conference that has Josh Allen, in a conference that has Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson and all of these great quarterbacks, you couldn't have thought that you were making the postseason with that. So the Raiders, they didn't come out and outright announce it. It's not like the NBA where teams tank and they kind of let you know, yeah, we're not trying to win. We want the number one overall pick. We want as many ping pong balls as possible. The Raiders, they certainly did everything they could to lock up a top five pick, and they are en route to earning themselves a top five pick to try and get themselves out of quarterback purgatory. The Tennessee Titans, their quarterback situation's bad too. Now, sometimes I don't know if NFL scouts and general managers, I don't know if they actually watch college football or not, which is crazy to me because part of your job is to watch and follow college football. I could have told them that Will Levis wasn't going to work. Rob, you watch a lot of college football like me. Are you surprised that Will Levis is not a good NFL starting quarterback? That is not a surprise to anybody who watched Kentucky his final 2 years. He is playing almost exactly how I thought he was going to play. Sometimes it's easy. Sure, there are diamonds in the roughs. There are guys that pop up out of nowhere and are far better than you think. He's not that individual. No, we knew. He played in the SEC. Will Levis is exactly what I thought he was going to be. So Tennessee is in that conversation. The Giants. Now the Giants, they've been in this spot for 5 years. They tried to do everything they could to try to convince us that Daniel Jones wasn't Daniel Jones. I've seen him. Last week, and I'm not even joking, if you were watching Red Zone, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Every time they cut to the Eagles and Giants game, Daniel Jones was on the ground. Every single time, he was like Vince Vaughn in Wedding Crashers. Every time they cut to it, he was getting sacked or tackled for a loss. I don't ever want to watch Daniel Jones play quarterback again. I'm serious. I really don't. I never want to watch him play quarterback again. Not for the Giants, not for the St. Louis Battlehawks, not for no team. I never want to watch him play quarterback again. The Giants are in that conversation. This offseason told me everything I need to know about the Giants. They did the little offseason hard knocks, and their general manager said, we didn't pay Daniel Jones $40 million to hand it off to a $12 million running back and Saquon Barkley. Okay, I mean, get rid of your best offensive player if you want to. He seems to still be really, really good and really, really productive. And the last team, Rob, in quarterback purgatory is the Carolina Panthers. It's those five. They gave up a lot of assets to go get Bryce Young. It's one of the biggest trades in the history of the league. They were sure that Bryce Young was going to be that guy. He is not. They could have got C.J. Stroud. Rob, you and I said this when it happened. Why were you going to go up in the draft to trade for the 5'11 guy, not the 6'4 guy? It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me at the time. It doesn't make sense now. It is one of the worst trades and one of the worst draft picks in the history of the NFL. Those are the five teams right now that I think are in absolute quarterback purgatory. I think it's the Browns, Raiders, Titans, Giants, and the Carolina Panthers. There are some other teams with some bad quarterback situations, but you either paid them, and we got to give it a little bit more time to see on whether or not the organization needs to make a decision. But these five teams this offseason, if they are not in the business of drafting a quarterback, they are setting themselves up for another lost year. And all five of these teams are currently in the middle of having a lost season.
I'm surprised there was one team I didn't hear. And maybe it's because this team is winning that they didn't end up in this. And maybe it's semantics. They ended up in that it's a bad situation, but not purgatory situation. What about the Steelers? Now, Russell Wilson has looked better. I don't know if you've heard on Sunday Night Football, but he throws the moon ball. Chris Collinsworth only mentioned the moon ball about 700 times on the broadcast, but that's neither here nor there. But we know Russell Wilson ain't that guy anymore, and Justin Fields just looked good enough to get by. They're going to win enough football games this year where they can't really get a Shador or a Carson Beck or a Quinn Ewers or a Garrett Nussmeier. Pick your guy. They're going to be in that 22 range.
Are we sure that the Steelers want that kind of quarterback?
That's fair.
I don't know if the Steelers want that kind of quarterback. I don't know if the Steelers' goal is to try to win a Super Bowl. I know that sounds crazy. Have the Steelers operated over the course of the last 10 years like a team that their number one goal is to try to win the Super Bowl? Or have they operated like an organization that their number one goal is to be exactly what they are now? They're going to win 10, 11 games. They're going to exceed expectations. And then they're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs to whomever they play. I don't know who they're going to play, but I'm guessing that team will have noticeably more firepower than they are, and they are going to beat them. Ever since Ben Roethlisberger decided to be a podcaster, they have been in this quarterback flux for quite some time. We all knew that they overdrafted Kenny Pickett. If Kenny Pickett was born in Fort Lauderdale, they wouldn't have taken him with the 18th overall pick. But he grew up in Pittsburgh. He went to Pitt. I mean, you got to take him with the 18th overall pick. And you know who Kenny Pickett was in college or in the NFL? The same quarterback he was in college. Again, some guys exceed what they were in college. You kind of know most of the time. Lamar was really, really good in college. He's still really, really good now. Joe Burrow was fantastic. You got a sense with Patrick Mahomes. Hey, he's got a chance to be really, really good. He's really, really good. I never, ever got a sense like, man, Kenny Pickett could really be something. Will Levis could really be something. Did you ever get that feeling?
Not once. But you're right. The Steelers have never operated like they wanted to win the Super Bowl. They always operate like, let's make the playoffs, which is weird because they're one of the, if not the most storied franchise in the history of the NFL. And ever since their last Super Bowl, it seems like all they want to do is just, let's get in. Like, I bet if we walked in the plaza right now and said, hey, do you remember who the last team in the AFC playoffs was last year? I bet most people would forget. It was the Steelers. They played a road game on Monday afternoon because of a blizzard against the Bills. They got thumped. But that is the Steelers' lot in life. Let's just be good enough to... You know what they are? They're the 90s Chiefs. They're never embarrassing, but they're never really a threat to win the Super Bowl.
Someone just texted in, C-Dot, I think Miami should be in that conversation. I think Miami is in a different crop. You might disagree, but there are like 20 teams in the league that think they have their quarterback. Again, you could disagree with them, but Miami thinks they have their quarterback. Jacksonville thinks they have their quarterback. The Chargers think they have their quarterback. Arizona, Atlanta. A majority of the teams right now in the league have either paid their quarterback or drafted a new quarterback over the course of the last 3 years that they think they have the answer to the position. there's a small handful of teams that you did what Carolina did. Carolina thought they had the answer. We knew kind of early on, and we all were trying to talk, oh, you know what, man, that year one, no, Bryce Young is, it's bad. They made the right decision in benching him for Andy Dalton. They made the right decision. And maybe Bryce Young will be better somewhere else. We're seeing sort of a revival of some of those quarterbacks. Sam Darnold's off to a great start this year. Baker Mayfield was having a really good season. Like, just because you didn't work in stop one doesn't mean that Bryce Young couldn't work in stop two. But in Carolina, it's over. He will not be on their roster next year. These are the five teams to me. Cleveland, Las Vegas, Tennessee, the Giants, and Carolina. They're the teams that it is just time for you to start over and redraft the position and have a hard reset. Sometimes you got to give your apartment a deep clean. You got to give your place a good scrub down and just start over. That is what these organizations need to do. Coming up on the other side, we're going to take a quick trip around the AFC. Let's stop at the other three division leaders in the AFC. Just check in, see how they're doing, see how they're performing. Also, get their opinion on the Chiefs trade for DeAndre Hopkins. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, I try to be transparent and honest with you guys. I don't have it in me to spend 4 hours today talking about the Las Vegas Raiders. The Las Vegas Raiders are primed and ready for the number 4 overall pick. And if the Chiefs lose to the Las Vegas Raiders, then we got some serious things to talk about on Monday because they are not a good football team. So I told Rob, you know what? Let's do something a little bit different on this Red Friday. Let's talk to all three of the other division leading teams. Let's check in. Let's see how they're doing. Let's see if they think they're the biggest contender to the Kansas City Chiefs and also get their thoughts on the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Let's start in Buffalo with Jeremy White. Jeremy, how you doing, my man?
Doing all right on this fine Friday.
All right, Jeremy, now that we have the trade information, would you rather have Amari Cooper at his compensation or would you rather have DeAndre Hopkins at what the Chiefs got him for?
I think I'd rather have Cooper for the Bills, like for what the Bills really, really needed in the specific player that they needed. Compensation-wise, you know, what the Bills gave up, a little bit less than a third-round pick. Good with that. Money is cheap, and maybe they extend him past this. So, like the Cooper idea, just fine, happy with it. And, yeah, I think it's a good fit.
What was you guys' take on your morning show about the Chiefs trade?
Well, it's funny, Carrington. You know, we've talked a million times. You know how Bills fans feel about the Chiefs. Like, they can beat the Chiefs, but they don't beat them when it actually matters the most. So it's a little bit the comparison I made was, you know, I'm already in a swimming pool and spraying me with a hose. I'm already wet. I don't care. So whatever the Chiefs get on offense, like, fine, great. Congratulations. You know, the playoffs are what's going to define this team. Bills fans feel like they should have beaten the Chiefs last year when the Chiefs offense was down. And if it's down again, I mean, the Chiefs could finish 32nd on offense. And when that game comes in the playoffs, that's the only thing that's going to matter. So it's definitely good for the Chiefs. I think everybody here acknowledges that. But at the same time, you know, it's all talk until they actually meet in January in the Bills, if they ever are going to actually get the job done.
Jeremy, funny enough, Chiefs fans haven't been that concerned about MVP. I just don't know if they're that concerned about individual awards that maybe they were at the beginning of Patrick Mahomes' career. I actually think right now that Josh Allen should be the favorite. I get it why Lamar is. He played really well on national TV, and that always seems to sway things. But this might be the best version of Josh Allen that we've seen so far.
Yeah, he's playing really well. He's protecting the ball. He's thrown a couple of interceptions or whatever, turnover-worthy throws. But no interceptions at this point. I think he could have had one or two. It's part of the story. It's partially Allen. It's partially the kinds of throws he's been making. It's partially the volume of throws as well. His actual volume of throws is down this year as well. So protecting the ball, shorter throws. It'd be interesting to see if his interceptions go up a bit with the Amari Cooper acquisition, because they're going to be passing down the field a bit more. So Cooper will be a little bit of a good and bad, because he'll bring back the old Allen, who's not afraid to wing it down the field. And, of course, you know, sometimes that means they get some interceptions.
Looking at the schedule right now for Buffalo, these are their wins: Arizona, Miami, Jacksonville, the Jets, and Tennessee. And they lost their two games against good teams. Do you have any questions about this Buffalo team? Because we saw them go up against some of the big dogs in the AFC, and they lost both of those games.
Not at all. I mean, there are a couple of sad sack Bills fans that want to compare this Bills team to last year's Dolphins, right, who they don't beat any playoff teams. But the reality is the Bills have a resume. Josh Allen has a resume over 7 years of beating lots and lots of playoff teams. So I don't think it's exactly an incomplete team that's flawed because they haven't beaten anybody good. They easily could have beaten Houston. They had a terrible day that day and nearly came out and stole it. Against Baltimore, game script goes sideways. A rematch, they'd be underdogs, but we'll see. But, you know, this team's beaten a lot of really good teams. So they've got some things to figure out still. The new-look offense will be a big change. And they've got to figure out what to do defensively with so many injuries. And they've had a lot of trouble stopping the run, more so than usual. So they've got their things to fix. But I don't think there's any sort of paper tiger here that indicates they can't beat any good team.
Last question here. The Bills right now are 5-2. They play the Chiefs coming up in 3 weeks. They play Seattle, Miami, and Indianapolis. What do you think the Bills' record is heading into that Week 11 matchup against Kansas City?
5-2 now, they'll be 8-2. They'll beat Seattle. They'll beat Miami. They always beat Miami. And Indianapolis, if it's Anthony Richardson or Joe Flacco, it's just not going to matter. They'll be 8-2.
I mean, if Kansas City's undefeated heading into that game and Buffalo is 8-2, that's going to be the biggest regular season game that you guys have had in Buffalo in a long time. Probably a couple of those Patriots years.
Yeah, and the 49ers is Sunday night the week after. So we got two in a row that are, or there's a bye week in between. We got a couple big ones coming up.
That is Jeremy White of WGR joining us on the show today, taking a look at the AFC East leading Buffalo Bills. Appreciate you, Jeremy.
Anytime.
Absolutely. Let's head to Houston right now to catch up with the AFC South leaders, the Houston Texans. Let's catch up with Sean Pendergast of Sports Radio 610. Sean, how you doing, man? Long time no talk.
Hey, Carrington, it's good to talk to you, man. Good to hear your voice. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. You know what? I'm just happy because 4 years ago, you and I would not be having this conversation right now. We'd have been talking to somebody in Jacksonville or Indianapolis who is leading their division. But now we can talk about you guys. You guys are the big dogs in the AFC South.
Dude, it's so good not to have to do interviews out of market about Jack Easterby and what a freak show the Texans are. It's fun to have a good football team again here, man. It's really, really fun. And it's cool to be able to look around at the other contenders in the AFC and look and go, oh man, the Chiefs got DeAndre Hopkins. That impacts things moving forward. It's good to be back where everything – it's good to be back above the line of relevance again, Carrington. That's what I'll say.
I mean, I'm looking at their two losses because they're 5-2. I mean, if your two losses are on the road against Minnesota and on the road against Green Bay, you certainly can live with that as a Texans fan.
You can. And yet it's strange because the five wins that the Texans have had, if you were to look at those, they beat the Patriots like a drum, which a lot of teams have done this year. But the other four wins – all came down to the final possession against the Bills, against the Jaguars, against the Bears, against the Colts in week one. And a lot of that was due to a lot of mistakes the Texans have made. They've been very penalty prone this year. They've let teams hang around. They've not been a good second half team offensively. And In my mind, I think that's actually, in terms of what the Texans could look like at the end of the year, I think it's a good thing. These are all very fixable things going on with the Texans, where I feel like they're 5-2 and they haven't played their best football yet. They're going to get Nico Collins back in a couple of weeks. A lot of optimism, man. A lot of hope here in Houston right now.
Sean, honestly, I thought that Joe Mixon was cooked a little bit. He's been very good this year. Has 77 carries for 400 yards, 5 touchdowns. Yeah. He's been hot these last couple of years as well. I was wrong on Joe Mixon. He's been one of the better backs in the league.
Yeah, he's been great. He missed a few games with an ankle injury, but that wasn't like a wear and tear thing. That was, he got hip drop tackled in a game against the Bears in week two. Even a young back would have had a sprained ankle from that. The games that he's played from beginning to end, which there's been three of them so far, he's had over 100 yards in all of those. He's been their most valuable player offensively in the games that he has played in. He's been really, really good, to the point where for us here in Houston, you know, we don't watch a ton of Cincinnati football the last few years. we're all going, why did Cincinnati let this guy go? You know, he's looked really, really good. And that's been kind of the trend around the league with a lot of these veteran backs who hit the free agent market this past year. Mixon, Barkley, Henry, Josh Jacobs. You know, it's cool to have the Texans be one of those teams that kind of was able to capitalize on that.
Sean, update us on their wide receiver room right now and where guys are from an injury perspective. Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, and Tank Dell. I also like Dalton Schultz. I think he's a capable tight end. That's a really talented room, but they've dealt with injuries over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, they have. It's mostly Nico. Tank missed, I think, the Jacksonville game with a rib injury. But other than that, guys have been healthy. Other than Nico, who is dealing with a hamstring now, they put him on injured reserve. He's going to miss this game against the Colts on Sunday. He's going to miss the Thursday night game against the Jets. And then the hope is that he's back for the Detroit Sunday night game in Week 10. The hamstring injury didn't look severe. He strained it on a 67-yard touchdown catch against the Buffalo Bills. So, he actually hurt the hamstring while scoring one of the longest touchdowns of the year. That's the kind of season Nico was having before he got hurt. I think he's still third in the league in receiving yards. He's missed 2.5 games. So the hope is that they just put him on IR, Carrington, just to kind of say, hey, look, man, let's take a step back. Because Nico he's had the injury bug since he got to the NFL to a degree. So I think the hope is that they said, look, let's just take 4 games to let this thing heal, because the second half of the season for the Texans is crazy, the schedule, which includes you guys 4 days before playing Baltimore on Christmas Day.
Last thing here, let's assume that Kansas City is going to be the 1 seed. Let's assume that they are going to be in the AFC Championship game. Who do you think their opponent is going to be? Because at this point, I think there's only 4 teams that can represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. I am not a Jets believer. I am not a Steelers believer. I think it's Buffalo, Baltimore, Houston, or Kansas City. I'd be surprised if it's anybody else. Who do you think is their biggest contender?
I think it's Baltimore, but I'll make a case for Houston because I host the morning show on Sports Radio 610 in Houston. I think the case for Houston is they get some of their offensive line issues resolved. Look, they've got an experienced offensive line and a healthy offensive line that for some reason has had real problems protecting C.J. Stroud so far this year. So I think that's a solvable problem if you're able to get them coached up. And I think if they get healthy on defense, they're missing Azeez Al-Shaair right now. They're missing Jimmy Ward right now on defense. I think if you get those guys healthy, and they've been a good defensive team this year. I think that's the big thing, is they're going to probably have to go on the road in the postseason, and the defense will travel. So I think I feel good about C.J. Stroud ultimately when he's playing in big games like this, if they've got their full arsenal of weapons. I'd say Baltimore right now, but, man, I could see the Texans making a run at it, and that's really exciting. I would love nothing more, man, than an AFC title game in Arrowhead Stadium with the Chiefs and the Texans. I think would be great theater.
Well, you know what, Sean, if that happens.
Especially with Hopkins there now. You know, that's our guy. That's DeAndre Hopkins. That would be cool.
No, for sure. You know what, man, go ahead and mark this down. If it is Chiefs in the Houston in the AFC Championship game, man, barbecue on me, man.
There you go. There you go. I love that, Carrington.
That is Sean Pendergast joining us on the show today. I appreciate you, Sean.
Anytime, Carrington. Take care.
Absolutely. That is Sean Pendergast joining us on the show. Let's take one more stop. Let's head to Baltimore right now to be joined by Tim Barbalace. He does the pre- and post-game show. Tim, happy to have you on the show today. There's been a lot of talk around the Ravens. Do you consider the Ravens to be the top contender to Kansas City?
Well, they got to figure out their pass defense first. I mean, they're in dead last, and that's despite heading into the year with a ton of promise and potential in the back end of their secondary. But I will say this, there's no defense that wants to see the Ravens offense right now. And Lamar, look, we've seen him have plenty of regular season success. He's taken his game to a completely different level this year. He's top 5 in passing. He's 11th in rushing. Derrick Henry is on pace to break Eric Dickerson's all-time single season rushing mark. The offensive line, which I was very skeptical about coming into the year, they struggled the first 2 weeks. They've really solidified. From a receiving standpoint, in 7 games, the Ravens have had 5 different receivers lead them in receiving yards in a game. 5 out of 7. This offense, they keep saying it's pick your poison, and it really is. We've seen teams sell out to stop the run, but Lamar's killing them with his arm. And then if you want to drop back into coverage, then here comes Derrick Henry. The offense right now is as unstoppable as I've ever seen it under Lamar Jackson, but that defense needs some work.
Has Derrick Henry been better than even you guys expected him to be coming into the season with what he's given you in the first half of the year?
Absolutely. I think even if you're Derrick Henry's family, you weren't expecting this. I mean, he's been on pace to break Eric Dickerson's all-time single-season record. Do I think he's going to keep up that pace? No. But when you look at the numbers in terms of guys 30 years and older, there have only been four players in NFL history, guys 30 years or older, to rush for 1,500 yards. And 1,500 yards for Derrick Henry this year is going to be a shoo-in. You know, he's already leading the league in rushing yards and touchdowns and rush attempts. And part of it's been the offensive line gelling. I mean, he's going a couple yards without even getting touched. And he just gets better as the game goes on, Carrington. The craziest stat with him, man, in the second half of games this year, he is averaging 7.4 yards per carry. 7.4 yards per carry in second half rushes. I mean, that's Madden numbers. You can't even do that in Madden.
Tim, we are getting closer to the trade deadline. Do you see the Ravens being buyers here over the next couple of weeks?
Absolutely. Eric DaCosta has always been aggressive as GM of the Ravens. He's pulled off in-season trades in the past. Marcus Peters comes to mind, Roquan Smith, Yannick Ngakoue. And this Ravens team, they have four compensatory picks coming their way. So they have 11 draft picks in the 2025 draft. That's a ton of ammunition to add at the deadline.
Tim, what has been the Baltimore fan reaction to Kansas City grabbing DeAndre Hopkins over these last couple of days?
I don't want to say it's a huge reaction. I think Ravens fans are kind of just focused on their own right now, to be honest with you. We know the Chiefs already won week one against the Ravens. It's a much different Ravens team. Since then, the offense has really gelled. But Ravens kind of just focused on their own at this point, on who they could add at the trade deadline in terms of edge rusher, in terms of maybe inside linebacker. Could they get some safety help? But look, I mean, the Chiefs, they've been banged up at wide receiver this year. Rice, he's done for the year. Marquise Brown is yet to debut for them. Juju Smith-Schuster is out this week. Is this the DeAndre Hopkins of 4 years ago? No, but I think it's a deal that makes a ton of sense for them to make, and someone who is going to provide an impact, and you know he's not going to drop the ball.
Are you taking Pittsburgh seriously as a team that can win the AFC North?
That can win the AFC North? Sure. Can they win the Super Bowl? I doubt it. I mean, that offense is still in kind of disarray. The defense has been leaky of late. But shockingly enough, and we know how great of a rivalry it is for Ravens Steelers, and these games always come down to one score every single time, but it's been the Steelers who have gotten the better of the Ravens. And you can look at Lamar Jackson's career numbers against Pittsburgh. I'd be willing to bet it's got to be the worst numbers compared to any other team in football. I mean, he struggles to beat Pittsburgh. He's only beaten them, I believe, just one time, twice? No, one time, and a ton of interceptions. The completion percentage is down. They've kind of figured him out a bit. So the Ravens, they got to take care of Pittsburgh, man. They got to find a way to win because they're 1-7 in their last eight against the Steelers.
And that is Tim Barbalace joining us on the show. He is with 105.7 The Fan out in Baltimore. He does pre and post game. Wanted to get you guys a quick look at the other three division leading teams in the AFC and just wanted you guys to stay updated, stay abreast of everything that's going on. I know today is a Red Friday and I know the Chiefs have a game and I know that we have this very weird back and forth that whenever I pick the Chiefs to lose, you guys get mad when I pick the Chiefs to lose. But then if I'm really confident in the Chiefs, you guys tell me that I'm a jinx. I don't know what you guys want me to do when it comes to the Chiefs. So today, I didn't have it in me to spend 4 hours talking about the Raiders. They stink. All right? They're not good. I know they're not good. You know they're not good. They're 2-5. They have lost 4 of their last 5 games. They're not good. They're going to pick top 5 in this year's NFL draft. If you lose this game to the Raiders after the puppet, after them beating you in Christmas, it came earned. There's no reason for the Raiders to beat this Kansas City Chiefs team. Not when this happened just 3 months ago.
I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Yeah!
Patrick Mahomes got some fuel to the fire recently with the Raiders and a puppet and some other things out there. I know last year he was kind of searching for some things to fire him up, and he found them. Is it a smart idea to fire up Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, I'd probably say not. We don't spend a lot of time here with puppets.
So after all of that, you know what? I think the Chiefs are going to come in locked in. I think they're going to be ready to go. And I am not worried about the Las Vegas Raiders this week. 913-586-7965. Rob, we have a little bit of time here before Nate Taylor's going to come up. I want to ask you a quick question, and I want to hear your story. There are some places that you never forget your first time, you know? I remember the first time I saw the ocean. I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri. I didn't go to the lake like some of you. So the first time I saw the ocean, it was one of the most incredible things I'd ever seen. I remember when I went to the Grand Canyon. I went to the Grand Canyon because I went to Royal Spring Training, was in Surprise. I had a rental car. The company was paying for the gas, and I had a free Saturday. There was no Royals media availability. I didn't know anybody in Phoenix. It was, well, what do I want to do? Well, I can drive to go see the Grand Canyon. It was amazing. I would highly encourage you to go do it. I remember my first time going to Vegas. I stayed at Planet Hollywood. I think I've told you this story before. I went, my friend was playing the Deal or No Deal slot machine. I pressed the button. I forced him to take a deal, and he cursed me out for the next 15 minutes. And when he calmed down, he was like, you know what, Carrington, you probably made the right decision. I know I made the right decision. You put $20 in the machine offers you $330. Yes, I made the decision for you. I pressed the button. He's like, man, let's go get something to drink. All right, man, thank you. Do you remember your first time in Vegas, Rob? What was it like? Where'd you go? Where'd you stay?
You know, we stayed at a Airbnb, so we didn't stay on the strip. We were in college, so we were trying to do it on the low, you know, kind of Airbnb, do it on the side. You know, what I mostly remember was I was enamored with the idea that you could be in a casino and they just bring you drinks. Like when you're 21 years old and you've been living off the bull and the wheel and the hawk and you were like scrounging up money to be like, hey, let's get a case together for the weekend. The idea of being like sitting in a slot machine or being at the cheap tables for blackjack and they just walk by and bring you whatever cocktail you want was really something that stood out to me. That, and I quickly learned Vegas ain't for me. It's not my go-to spot. I don't like the clubs. I'm not a big, you know, concert guy, which maybe makes me a fuddy-duddy. And at the time, I didn't really have the money to do the food scene. So I remember it was, hey, you know what's great? Fremont Street. That's what I remember walking away being like, that was a great time because at 21 as a college kid, the money wasn't right to really hit the strip right.
I remember one of my good friends, Matt Oates, he told me this and I didn't understand it until a certain part of my life. He said, life opens up when you are no longer living paycheck to paycheck. Like you will see life differently. You will be able to enjoy life differently when your paycheck is not essential for survival. There is no that embodies that feeling more than Las Vegas. There are two kind of people that go to Las Vegas. There are people that go to Las Vegas to see things. That's what you were in, right? You're 21 years old. I don't have a whole lot of money. I just want to look around and see all the bright lights. There are then people that go to Las Vegas to do things, and you got to have money to do things. You can have the most incredible steak of your life. You can have the most incredible steak of your life, go to a concert, and then go to a club and just have an amazing night. It ain't going to be cheap to do that, though. You can have some incredible Vegas stories. You don't have a whole lot of Vegas stories for cheap, though. That ain't really how that place works. But if you got a little bit of money, Vegas is an incredible time. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we're going to be joined by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. He is somebody who has certainly been to Vegas a bunch. We'll get his stories coming up as well. Keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, Nate Taylor's going to join us here coming up in a bit. Let me give you one quick update. On behalf of The Drive here at 96.5 The Fan and also Rob and I's podcast, I want to encourage you to go wherever you get your podcast from and download Bad Movies, Worst Opinions. Rob and I go through 90s and 2000s movies that are rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. It comes out every Tuesday. So on behalf of those two ventures, we are offering up tickets to go see the movie Venom. Rob, is this a movie that you're interested in? You love superhero movies. You love Spider-Man. Are you interested in Venom? I believe this is the sequel, Venom number 2.
I believe this is 3, and
this is the third Venom.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know. That's a lot of Venom.
Zero interest. None.
Okay, well.
The first two were unwatchable.
Hopefully the people listening, I hope that they have an interest in the movie. You don't have an interest in the movie. I hope that whoever is listening, I hope that they have an interest. I also hope that they go and download our podcast, Bad Movies, Worst Opinions. So during the commercial break, please don't call right now. Every time I say this, I'll play the sounder, then someone will call, then they'll be mad that they didn't win. Not right now. During the commercial break, I'm going to play this sounder.
We are Venom.
When you hear that sounder, call Rob. We will give you a pair of tickets to go see Venom this weekend. We'll just send you the code. You do it yourself. You go see the movie. Hopefully you enjoy it. Let us know if you liked Venom. This is the second one, third one, fourth one.
This is the third one.
Tom Hardy is Venom, right?
Yep.
Okay. Shout out to Tom Hardy. I like Tom Hardy.
Woody Harrelson was the bad guy in the second one.
Okay, well, I haven't seen Venom 1 or 2, and I don't think I'm going to see 3. But I want to help other people. Maybe you want to take your kid to go see Venom. See, people are calling right now. I just gave you the rules.
I can't believe people are this excited to see Venom.
I can. It's going to be a box office smash is what it's going to be. This is my question. 913-586-7965. Now, I know this is going to sound like I'm a hater, and I promise you, I am not a hater. Rob, you're in the middle of this. Is the Sunflower Showdown fun? Is it a fun rivalry? I bring that up for this reason. This is why I bring it up. You don't hate K-State. I know you. You don't hate K-State. A lot of KU fans I know don't hate K-State. They hate Missouri. They don't hate K-State. Rob, when were you born?
1991.
How many times do you think that KU has won against K-State since you've been alive? Think about it. You were born in 1991. It's 2024. How many times do you think KU has beat K-State in football since you've been alive?
Half a dozen, maybe?
Five.
Oof.
Rob, think about over the course of your life, all the things that you've done. You finished high school. You finished college. You've lived in multiple places. You have been married. You and your wife are planning a family, building a home. Five times over the course of your life. That doesn't sound very fun to me as a KU fan to watch a team every single year get their teeth kicked in against this other team. And then in basketball, a majority of the time, you guys win. When has KU and K-State been an interesting, fun rivalry? The games aren't competitive, and they're not hostile. I've been to a KU-K-State basketball game and football game. It isn't hostile. It's a lot of love on both sides.
It's more hostile in Manhattan.
Well, of course.
That's fair. I'm just pointing it out. There's hostility one direction.
I just want to know. You guys let me know. 913-586-7965. Is this a fun rivalry? Rob, you were so excited to go to this game at the beginning of the season. You had a chance for tickets. Nah, I'm okay. I don't want to go. I'm all right.
I'm good. I will say this, and this is going to sound like very deep in my arrogant KU fan bag, but that's fine. KU fans do not care about K-State the way K-State fans care about KU. They don't.
No, agreed. Most rivalries, when there's a third team involved, mm-hmm. That's how it's going to be. Missouri and Kansas are rivals.
Yep.
They're rivals. Like, they don't like each other.
To this day, I do not want Missouri to experience success. K-State's what, 5-1 right now? Okay. K-State won the Big 12 in football a few years ago. It wasn't like it burned me. When Mizzou was playing Bama and they were playing Auburn in those SEC title games, I don't care if it was the SEC, I wanted that team to lose.
Yeah.
I was big Trey Mason fan for a day. You, every March, become big insert Team X fan. That's how it's supposed to work. K-State does not make me experience that feel.
Yeah, I just wanted to know. This call's from Manhattan. Let's take their call. Can we take this person's call?
We can take this call.
Yeah, let's see. I want to get their opinion. 913-586-7965. Some of you are around Rob's age. You cheer for KU. You've beaten K-State five times, and this doesn't sound fun. Every year, the same thing happens. You guys are going to lose on Saturday. I know it. You know it. They know it. You guys are going to lose. And then in basketball, we know in Lawrence you aren't winning. Right, we know that's happening. You have no chance of winning in Lawrence, and maybe you win in Manhattan. That's it. This rivalry is fun one time a year when K-State plays KU at home in basketball. Maybe they will win. And they did. And they didn't start winning in that rivalry until just recently. I don't want to have to go through the basketball. K-State, they beat you in your own gym for 20 consecutive years. This rivalry didn't start getting fun until about 5 years ago. It started to get fun. You're 51 years old. This rivalry has been fun six times in 50 years. No, this rivalry is... I'm offended they've even given it a name. It shouldn't even have a name. Sunflower Showdown. Nah, man, KU playing K-State. Josh, you called into the show, man. You sound like you're a K-State fan.
Yes, yes. And I'm from Central Kansas, right? So there's a lot more of the KU-K-State rivalry. Here in the Kansas City area is more KU-Missouri. And, yeah, I get it, but I don't know. I've always hated KU. I was the two-year-old that was chanting all the negative chants and stuff. They make good doctors. Nobody likes lawyers. That's about all the good that comes out of KU. They're a bunch of cheaters. That's been my life growing up, so...
Josh, you know, man, I appreciate it, man. We got Nate Taylor coming up in a little bit. You can even, Josh, I didn't even get the feel of the hatred from what Josh had to say.
Josh tried to take a shot at KU there. Oh, they're all cheaters. I didn't feel a way. Let you say that.
Josh's shot, his insult was, they all live in Roland Park and they're doctors. Great. Phenomenal people. They're very accomplished scholars is what he said. You know, the Sunflower Showdown, let's be honest, is weak. It's weak. Rob, you're a KU fan. Give me one great Sunflower Showdown football memory that you have. Give me one, a positive one for your team. Give me one. Because even though MU and KU haven't played each other in basketball, text line right now, give me MU-KU basketball memories. Text line will be flooded. Give me some football memories in this rivalry. They play every year. They're playing every year since... the 1800s. You got fun memories from these games?
There was once they broke a long losing streak in in Lawrence. That was cool.
one time.
I think it was like 04?
Maybe. We don't even know. We don't even know when it happened. We just know it happened at one point. We don't know. No, this rivalry's weak. I'm sorry. Let's quit calling it. It's not a showdown. You know what it is? It's a spirited exhibition. That's what they're going to have in Saturday. It's going to be a nice scrimmage for K-State. It's going to be a nice win that they can continue to pad their record along the way as they hopefully make the college football playoff. Coming up in just a bit, we'll get back to the Chiefs. Nate Taylor is going to join us in studio. We'll get his thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins, who is the newest member of the Chiefs. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.